Hi there, this is Alan Tudyk. I'm Wash. And at times I will wash myself just when I get dirty. This is Hypeable Podcast. Talk about Firefly, why don't you?
Welcome to Rewatchable, Hypeable's rewatching podcast that focuses on rewatching the hottest shows. And this time we're focusing on Firefly. We're on episode 13. It's called The Message. I have with me Selena and Caitlin. Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hello. And,
oh, goodness. I cut you off. I'm sorry.
I don't want to hear your hello. It's all about me.
Exactly.
I'm finally the host. Anyway.
Just go sit in a corner.
If you guys want to get in contact with us, you can reach us at Twitter, which is re_watchable. You can email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. And you can also contact us on Hypeable on the podcast page whenever these episodes come out. So let's get this podcast rolling and start off with the synopsis for the episode. Selena, do you think you can get the synopsis?
I absolutely can.
Okay, perfect.
And I'm so glad you asked, because I never get to do it. Ah. Okay. Tracy, an old war comrade of Mal's and Zoe's, mails his corpse to them. With it, there's a message asking them to deliver his body to his family. Unfortunately for the crew, there are men claiming to be with the Alliance on their tail, looking for goods hidden on Tracy's body. The crew can't find anything on Tracy's corpse, so they prepare to cut it open, but lo and behold, Tracy is alive! Capital letters, ah, zombie season. He explains he is smuggling super organs and made a deal with the wrong people, and now his life is in danger. The crew flees to a planet with the men in hot pursuit and eventually agree to give up Tracy. However, Tracy finds out and makes a break for it with Kaylee as his hostage. They shoot him down, and Mal explains they were going to face the feds since they're out of their jurisdiction and on a personal mission with no authority. Then Tracy dies, and they deliver his body for real this time to his parents.
Aww. This episode was amazing.
Wasn't it? I really love this episode.
It's like just exactly as Laura had said last episode when she was like, you guys are going to watch this episode, and everyone in the fandom can agree that this episode is amazing. And now I see why. It has all the feels.
Yeah. And it's funny because I remember the first time I watched it, I wasn't into it because I was like, this new guy, I don't know who he is. I'm not interested in his story, blah, blah, blah. Then he's dead and he's alive. Oh, but then he dies again. But then I'm watching it this time. I was like, where was my brain at? This was so good. You know?
It's really amazing how different your reactions are this time, Selena.
Yeah, well, it's because probably because I'm paying attention, because I know I'll be podcasting about it, so I know I have to actually watch with both eyes. You know what I mean? Like, it's and I think that, like, just this episode, this was the moment when I sort of finally hit me, like, Firefly is amazing. I know I'm super slow on the uptake, but it's so good.
It's amazing what happens when you're actually watching what's on the
right,
screen.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, that's my problem last time. When I watched the pilot, I wasn't paying attention. I was like, eh, Firefly's okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. So the first scene we see is them at some sort of planetary, like, mail area or, like, shopping district, I guess. And there's, like, a thing with an alien, and Kaylee and Simon go to see it, and it's so cute. They're just like, he's taking her on a little date. And then he
has
to go and screw it up.
Well, it's cute until it's really awkward. Like, so awkward that you don't want to look. Like, you know, it's like you're so embarrassed on behalf of what's happening on screen. You just want to, like, hide away.
Like out of all the things he could have said, he had to say, you're practically the only girl in the world.
Pretty much the only one. I know, that was terrible.
I really thought that was a really cute way to start the episode up. Because then you go from that, and then you directly go to, like, a dead body, which is interesting. But one thing I really wanted to mention is that the guy who was selling the tickets to the cow fetus was like, oh, aliens, they're here, we've discovered aliens. And I'm like, wait, it's gotten this far in the future and they haven't discovered any aliens themselves? Like, did either of you think about that? Because I felt like it was pretty improbable that they wouldn't have discovered life out there if they're so spread out throughout the galaxy.
I don't understand your question.
Did you think that it was realistic that they hadn't discovered aliens yet? Like, was that any point in your thought process?
I think it's interesting that they chose to address it at all, actually. I remember having this thought because, I mean, yeah, you're right. We just thought, I think we come in with this idea from, you know, like the Alien movies and Star Wars and Doctor Who, where we just assume that, like, basically just outside of our own galaxy, you can't walk a step without tripping over an alien, you know what I mean? Whereas in this particular, it's like Battlestar Galactica, it's this idea that actually in space there aren't necessarily all these different civilizations and life forms around. Like, it's just, space is just that. It's space. And it's empty. It's like a, you know, I'm sorry. It's like okay. comparing it to that idea of the cowboy world. You know, it's literally like a vast, empty plane.
Yeah.
I was going to say, if you think about it, if we're likely to find life elsewhere, it's probably going to be like single cell organisms on another planet anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably not all that likely that there would be, or that we would be finding it anyway, because space is pretty vast.
Exactly. So yeah. I mean, and with the kind of technology they have, I mean, I'm pretty sure that, I mean, they've settled around on different planets and stuff, but they have limited resources. They're basically still recovering from a war and trying to make their way in the universe. So I like the fact that they didn't introduce the space, the alien element. That would have made it too sci-fi too.
Yeah, it's a more realistic point of view of the show about space travel, as realistic as you can get with that genre.
Actually, yeah, pretty much. That's ironic, you know, because we think. I mean, like you were saying, you know, you were like, well, there are no aliens. How realistic is that? Because we're just so used to fiction throwing aliens in our face and these like humanoid races and stuff. So yeah, it's pretty different.
And so when they get on this planet, they're checking for mail, and apparently it's something that they do fairly regularly.
Did anyone else think
that it was odd that they would be regularly checking mail and like Jane has something sent to him by his mother?
No, I think that kind of makes sense. You know, it is kind of like, again, it's like, In a Western, they would go to the post office in their, like, the town, the saloon town, and they would, you know, they'd be like some kind of carrier pigeon waiting for them kind of thing. So I like that. And I have to say, like, Jane getting that letter from his mother and getting that hat. We'll talk about the hat. But just him getting that, I was like, oh, that's why I like Jane. There it is. I knew there was something.
Yeah,
like, there was a reason coming that I was like, oh, Jane, and there it was. I loved it.
And watching him try to read something, it was just like...
In your travels.
Who knew Jane was a mama's boy?
I know. And, like, he's sending them money, and it's just, like, it's adorable. I loved it. I knew it. I'm so excited. Like, vindicated in my love of Jane.
After Jane gets his hat and everything, they open up the crate, and it's a dead body, or supposedly dead body. It's Tracy, their old war friend. And do you guys think it would be more interesting had the synopsis from the episode not told us that Tracy comes back to life later in the episode?
Well, because... I didn't read the synopsis. Did it say that, like, on the DVD and everything?
It did, on Netflix. Oh, wow. It was like, it told me, like, it's, I don't want to go find it right now, but it basically said, oh, they get a friendship to them, but little do they know he's actually alive. And
that's
so
it was, stupid.
Yeah. And so,
well,
how
do you describe the episode otherwise?
They get a body sent to them, and it's mysterious somehow. Like, something about it being mysterious. I don't know.
Yeah, there's a body sent to them, and now there are people after the goods inside the body.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. It was very disappointing for me when they were playing up the fact that he was dead for so long. I was like, well, this isn't at all surprising. So I'm wondering if any other of the rewatchers listening to this saw this on Netflix and thought the same thing.
Yeah.
But we get to a flashback of Tracy, and it's so awesome. It just makes me want more. Like, I wish they'd focused at least maybe an entire episode or so on just the war in the past, other than, like, because all these flashbacks are really great, and I feel like they could have done a lot more with those.
No, absolutely. I mean, especially, like, Zoe. I love seeing Zoe in the flashbacks because she's just such a badass, you know? And it's the whole, coming back to the whole idea of origin stories, there's so many things we still haven't seen. that I would have loved to have seen.
Well, if we had had more than one season, we probably would have.
Right? Man. But in the flashback, Tracy, you get your first really real look at Tracy, and then you realize how much of an idiot he is, because he just stopped fighting and eats beans.
I know. Like, so random.
Really? At what point do you stop and you go, I'm hungry, let me stop risking my life and start risking my life even more for beans? I don't know. It was the very first thing that we got to see Tracy as, which gave you the first impression that he's maybe, like, definitely not the smartest person ever. And then you get his message, and it's very heartbreaking. And because he's telling the crew basically to send his body off to his family so that he can get buried there. And it's heartbreaking, yet also douchey for the fact that Tracy's not dead. And so I was just like, well, I don't like you anymore. I don't like you one bit. What did you guys think of Tracy and the whole, like, fake message thing?
Well, considering that he wasn't dead when he, you know, because you hear him sort of sniffling and being really sad. I mean, yeah, in retrospect, it's very douchey, but considering how it comes back towards the end, it ends up making sense.
Yeah, it's pretty sleazy, especially when he tells them at the end that he's like, you know, I picked you because you're saps.
I know.
So he played it up as much as possible, and you see Kaylee in her bunk listening to it and really sad, like, oh, you are such a manipulator. It's terrible.
Yeah, like, he's just this character. Like, that's, like, the one thing about this episode that probably meant that I didn't like it so much the first time around was because I was like, he's just such a douche. Like, I hate this guy.
Yeah, I really didn't like this guy at all.
No, so. And I was, like, really worried he was going to join the crew and everything. Like, I was like, no, I don't want
to. I know, I was, oh man, I was so glad when he got shot. But we can talk about that later.
Yeah.
So, when the Alliance come by to check on the crate that was delivered to the mail system, I actually didn't think that they were legit for some reason. I don't know what made me think that. I think there was something specific that they did or said. But when you guys watched it for the first time, do you remember believing that the Alliance was after them for that crate?
I don't think... The thing about the Alliance is that they're the bad guy. So it doesn't really matter to me whether it's the Alliance or, like, other random bad guys, you know? It's basically just, like, the enemy in my head.
I think I was suspicious because I don't think they were in uniform. And they were doing some pretty harsh stuff that seemed like they might have been gangsters or something, like pretending to be Alliance, but then, like Selena said, they're the bad guys, so they're not exactly doing the nicest things anyway, so it didn't surprise me as much that they were legit when we found out they really were.
Yeah, I think that's the only bit. It's like, oh, so they're not fake Alliance, they're real Alliance, they're just not good Alliance.
Working off the books.
Yeah, exactly. But later in the episode, we see Jane working out and Shepherd Book being creepy, and then River laying on top of the coffin.
Oh, River.
The first thing I thought was just like, oh, she totally knows he's alive.
Yeah,
like,
she must
have been.
Oh, man. But that was so hysterical because Shepherd Book is like, you may not want to lay there. It's like, no, it's comfortable.
Can I just say I really liked this scene because we see how they're, you know, everyone's dealing with death in a different way, and it's kind of a really different dynamic than we've seen. You know, Jane does things to feel alive, and Zoe and Mal are telling stories about Tracy, and Shepherd Book's talking about, you know, saying words over the body. So it's just, it's interesting to see how they're all reflecting on death in different ways.
And you know, one thing that was really, really interesting about the scene too is that you were saying, you know, how Zoe and Mal are telling stories, and I think, you know, the fact that we see Inara sitting with them, and the fact that we see sort of Inara in this episode, is, except for in the first scene, she's very dressed down, I noticed, and she's a lot more of a part of the crew now. And I just think it's, after everything that's happened with her over the season, this was sort of the moment when she's sort of completed her transition, if you will, from a passenger to a legit member of the crew. And I think that was really emphasized in that scene.
And she wanted to help fence the Lassiter.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So she wanted to be part of the finishing off the job from the last episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish that she was actually part of this episode a little bit more. Because you get glimpses of her, like, there. And then when the ship is getting hit, you see her in her room, trying to like keep everything still. And I'm like, I wish she just had a bit more to say. She'd be able to defend Kaylee more. Like, I feel like no one really helped. Like, they shot him, of course, obviously. But like, the poor Kaylee was being strung around so easily. I feel like maybe Inara would have been able to help her out.
Yeah. But there really isn't time for every character in every episode, you know what I mean? Like, this episode was way more Kaylee-centric.
Oh, yeah. Did when you guys saw Tracy and Kaylee getting together, did you ship it at all?
No.
I mean, I wouldn't say I shipped it, but I mean, until we knew that he was a bad guy, when we still thought he was legit, I thought it was cute. But then it's also because I didn't necessarily jump on the Kaylee Simon thing immediately, and I was thinking, well, he was kind of being stupid. Maybe this is a good chance for Kaylee to sort of remind him that, well, there are other guys for her. You know what I mean? So it's, I was also sort of thinking about it like that.
It's also a good chance to remind Kaylee that, hey, there are stupider guys than Simon out there.
True.
I mean, like, really? Like, seriously, guys, on a scale of 1 to 10, how idiotic was Tracy's plan to smuggle bodies via his own body?
I know, like, how did he ever think that would end well?
Right.
Well, I got the impression that was something that was done. Like, he wasn't just this random guy doing it. Like, it was done. Like, he had people set up who had taken out the organs because, like Simon said, you know, they needed an incubator. You can't travel, like, take them anywhere without it. So I had the impression this was a whole underground ring that was going on that he got involved in.
Yeah, it probably is. But at the same time, like, no matter how desperate you are for money, like, one thing is selling a kidney. The other thing is having all of your own organs scooped out. Like, that's pulling your entire life into the hands of criminals. Like, it just, you know, it just seemed, oh, you know, there's no way that could end well.
No, I totally understand what you're saying, Caitlin, and I can see how it is an underground ring. But when I first watched it, I was just thinking that he was just some idiot who agreed to have someone take out his organs and put them up in a new one.
I know. I thought it was going to be like bionic, like super organs. Like, he was trying to make himself kind of super.
Yes, I thought they were going to be like super. Like, he said there was like, oh, everything's running smoother and faster. I'm like, oh man, is he going to be some sort of superhero?
Uh huh.
Nope. Did you? But when they found out about it and they were discussing things, or when Shepherd Book was discussing the fact that they should just give him away, did you guys think that they were actually going to, or did you guys realize that Shepherd was behind some evil plan?
I've seen too many scenes where someone walks in on an inopportune part of the conversation and takes the wrong impression to think that they were really going to turn it in. Like, there's something more to what he's saying. He's getting the wrong idea. I don't know what it is, but he's getting the wrong idea, just because that's a trope that plays out over and over and over again. Yeah. So I was expecting it.
See, I actually wasn't, for some reason. I have no idea why. I thought they were really just going to give him off because, I don't know. I thought that maybe because I didn't like him, I thought they were just going to give him off and then maybe save the day after his organs were, like, put back in, you know? But I totally thought they were going to give him away.
And you also don't like Shepherd Book, and it was Book's plan.
I know. But seriously, though, can we talk about that for a second? How Shepherd Book was willing to do something so inhumane?
Oh,
like,
man.
Like, hello?
I just don't like him.
Red
he's so
flag.
Evil.
I know.
Anyway.
Totally evil.
He's totally evil.
Yep.
But Tracy thought that they were going to give him away, so he takes Kaylee hostage, and he's just being, like, a douche, and he shoots Wash in the face. And I'm just like, okay, anything that I felt for this guy, as adorable as he is, was gone.
And I love Zoe's reaction. It was like, immediately shoot him. Like, that's it. Like, no hesitation, nothing. Yeah. Shoot him.
Like, as soon as he threatened her husband, she was just like, oh, you're gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, it made me think of when he was talking to Kaylee before and was like, next you're going to tell me Zoe has emotions and smiles. I was like, well, there are your emotions. She's protecting her husband.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I love that. And I think that, I mean, and it's interesting as well that Tracy, I mean, ultimately, yeah, they did kill him. But what killed him in the end was the fact that he did totally, I mean, he was the one who said that Zoe and Mal were saps, but then he still completely failed to see what lengths they were willing to go to help him out, you know? that they are good people and that they weren't going to hand him over that easily. And so it's him that causes his own death in the end, which I think is fitting.
Yeah.
Now, this may be just be me, but did they, when they were talking about the flashbacks and whatnot, did they talk about what separated the crew from Tracy? Because I don't know if they ever did, and if they didn't, then it would have been interesting to see what made him go from their, like, war buddy to thinking that they were just saps and wanting to play them and not trusting them nearly as much. Because it seemed like they had a good relationship, basically almost as close as Zoe and Mal did, and then eventually, I guess that just deteriorated. So, am I just not paying enough attention, or do you guys think that was a missed point?
Well, no, I think that he was kind of annoying. Like, I don't think he was really, because he seemed to be sort of, you know, the stories they were telling, like, he was funny, but he wasn't, like, you know, he said it as well in the flashback that, like, he was willing to hand them over and stuff like that. Like, he always seemed like he was out for himself. So I don't think he would have ever been that close with Zoe and Mal.
When you develop these relationships with people, like, yeah, when you have to spend a lot of time in close quarters with them, but then once that's over, you don't need to spend a lot of time with them afterwards. Mm-hmm. Zoe and Mal have that close relationship and want to spend time with each other outside of it, obviously, but I didn't see Tracy as having that dynamic, that he probably just went his own way after the war was over to do whatever he was going to do, and there was just no need for them to be together. I played sports in college, and I spent a lot of time with my teammates, but I wasn't really very good friends with most of them, and I haven't seen any of them in years, even though we spent tons of time together in college.
Yeah, no, that absolutely makes sense. I feel bad for the poor fella, because I don't know. I feel like once you have those friends, like, you get really close, there are definitely those people, like, you do drift away from them. And there's some people who drift away, and they're like, they have no one after those people drift away from them. And it feels like Tracy is one of those people. And I feel like maybe if he had been smarter, he probably would have stuck around. Maybe he would have even stuck around to be a part of the crew of the Serenity. So after Kaylee gets taken hostage and they shoot Tracy, Shepherd Books tells the feds who climb aboard the Serenity basically that they know they don't have any jurisdiction in the area that they're in, and so basically Shepherd Books tell them to book it. No pun intended.
Oh,
maybe a little bit.
Rimshot.
Let that sink in right for a second.
And so they realize that the feds realize that they're not going to get anything, and they leave, but not before telling Drain that his hat makes him look like an idiot. And I feel like that was very easily solved. I don't know. The Fed said, oh, well, it's broken goods anyway, which is probably true. But did you guys think that they probably could have, I don't know, made some action out of that last battle?
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not sure that's really what this episode was about. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it seemed like it had a very contemplative tone to it. So I think sort of a giant, like, wham-bam, sort of like, big fight with those guns and stuff would kind of have taken away from that. I mean, there was a little bit of it, but it was sort of meant to end on that quiet note.
Maybe it's just me, because I love action and and when people die.
Well, we'd had action right before they boarded the ship. That was the action.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Oh, speaking of that, Wash is a fantastic flyer. I loved seeing the scene where he was like, all his face was all scrumped up, and he was like, an exercise for him. He was like, oh boy.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not in that way, but I don't know.
He finally got a chance to shine a little bit.
I know. You never really got to see Wash, I feel, maneuver the ship like that before.
Yeah.
And so that was really interesting. But you know what's even more interesting as I segue into this next topic?
What? Tell us.
Jane's hat.
Yes, indeed. The real star of this episode and the entire show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. We have to take a moment to talk about the iconic hat from Firefly. I mean, really.
Yeah. I mean, this is funny because we were just talking about this before the show started, but how Jane and his hat, like, that's the symbol of Jane. That's his hat. That's, like, the symbol of Firefly. And it wasn't introduced until almost the very end of the show. I just think that's so funny.
It's tragic the statue in Janestown doesn't get to have the hat.
Yeah, it's true.
I know. I wish the statue of Jamestown had the hat. Then all the people in the town would be wearing the hats, and it would be so adorable.
That would be so funny.
Line of merchandising on the mud planet.
Yeah, and then they'd all get sued, and then, yep.
At least the hat really, I think the hat was actually a fantastic comedic angle on this whole episode. It's actually fairly serious. Like, I think it's one of the only comedic items that they had to lighten the mood of the episode. And I like the fact that Jane kept it on the entire time. That really helped. Like, he didn't take it off. Not once.
Yeah.
And I think that actually works in their favor, because at the end of the episode, Tracy actually dies, but you still have Jane wearing the hat. But
yes, where are you going with this?
Is
the hat like a horcrux of Tracy's? He did get it at the same time.
That would be actually pretty fantastic.
Yep.
Tracy's, can we just have horcruxes in Firefly? That yes. would be great. When Tracy did die, though, did you guys ultimately feel bad for him, or did you still not like him? Like, when they were taking his body over to his family and everything, and, like, admittedly, I got really teary-eyed, and I may or may not have cried a little bit.
Aww.
But I still didn't like Tracy. I feel like my emotions were more tied into the fact that someone died, and a family has to see their dead body, like, Tracy's dead body. But it wasn't necessarily for the fact that Tracy died, because I didn't like Tracy at all. How did you guys feel about Tracy's death as a character?
I think in the end, I pitied him. I didn't really, like, sympathize, but I pitied him because he was so alone and so untrusting of these people who wanted to help him out. And he was starting to make this connection with Kaylee, but it was under, you know, pretenses of what was really going on, and he just could never trust these people who, you know, he said he wanted to trust. He was playing them, and then ends up dead after all, after this whole ruse. So just, I pity him because he's kind of pathetic more than anything.
Right. It was sort of ironic the way that his final, you know, the message that he recorded, how that ended up being the truth, you know, that ended up actually making sense. I think I'm with Caitlin, but I was just so relieved that he wasn't going to be a part of the crew. You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely. If for me, it was just, I don't know what made me, I don't know why, but when he was, like, talking right before he died, and he was saying that beautiful quote, when you can't run, you crawl, and when you can't crawl, you find someone to carry you.
Yeah.
For some reason, that got me to hate him even more. I don't know why, just because he was so pathetic, and I was just like, oh god, he's such a child. Like, I don't like it when adults act like children. And yeah. So, but that quote is one of my favorite quotes ever.
It was a really good quote.
It's not my favorite line, though. Which I'm going to segue to now.
Okay, hey! I was hoping you would.
Oh, man. My apologies for this awkward hosting that you guys have going on.
I think it's great hosting. Come on. It's going to be
really
good. Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you.
I think you're always more critical of your own hosting than
I think you. That's very true. It's very, very true. But let's move on to our favorite lines and scenes, because I think that's basically it for the episode, unless you guys had anything else you wanted to say.
It's pretty much it. The only random thing that I wanted to bring up is that I think it's so funny how in Firefly so many like man names are also like girls' names, like Jane and true. Tracy, and okay, that's it. I can't think of anyone else. But anyway, that's enough.
That is true.
Because, you know, like in Buffy, you don't think of Buffy as a show that has weird character names. And then you start to list their names. And you go like Buffy, Willow, Giles, Sander. Like, it's like, okay, this is weird. Dawn. It's like not normal names, but they aren't like super out there except for Buffy. Mm-hmm. And then like they'll get a show like Firefly where it's like Mal, Inara, Wash, Kaylee, Zoe. Like there are a few normal ones, but mainly they're just weird.
I like the fact that they're weird, but they're not.
But they're not too weird. Like, it's not something. That's what. Like, one of the best things about Whedon shows is that you get names that are unique, but you don't get names that are, like, you know, like in really bad YA fan fiction or like books, novels where they're all called stupid things like Dandelion and like what have you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it always works in his shows. Even when you have characters that are called, like, girl names. I mean, hell, Angel.
Yeah.
Song of I Am, you know? But it works.
Speaking of girls' names.
Ooh, okay.
Something I wanted to say about Kaylee was that I was reading the wiki page for this episode, and they said that in the commentary that Joss Whedon kind of joked that threatening Kaylee had become like a, like kind of a, and now I just lost the word that I was thinking of.
Like a trope or like something that happened?
Kind of like that, that, you know, they just kept making, like threatening her to win the audience over, and he kind of compared it to early Buffy with Willow constantly being in danger. So I just wonder if we could talk a little bit about Kaylee being the damsel in distress again.
Yeah, it's annoying. I mean, in a way, it's not. It doesn't bother me that much because you do have both Zoe and Inara are so capable. You know what I mean? And River, obviously, there's something going on with her too that's making her less, you know, less of a victim than we would have thought she would be. But yeah, you do have Kaylee, who is this very just. She's a really talented mechanic and she can do all these things, but she's completely useless in these situations. But at the same time, so is Wash. So it's not so much a women thing as it is a character thing. When but I would have liked to see her more capable.
At least Wash has the ability to like drive away.
But Kaylee fixes the ship, you know? She does have some really unique skills.
Yeah, I do wish that maybe Inara should teach Kaylee some how to fight.
Yeah.
Like I'm sure Inara knows how to fight, so I think if she taught Kaylee how to fight, that'd be pretty epic. Or River. If Kaylee can just get over the fact that River's a little creepy.
Maybe that'll happen in season two. Oh no.
Oh no. Oh, that just played with my heart.
It's good, shows you're getting into it.
Yeah, it is. It's a good show. I'm not like I said before, I'm not in love with it. It's not the best show in the world, but I do like it a lot.
Good.
So let's talk about our favorite lines and our favorite scenes for a little bit. Selena, do you have yours picked out?
I do. All right. My favorite line is from the first episode, from the first scene when they're walking through that market and River has that snow globe kind of food thing. And she sort of like tries to eat it off the string. She's like, my food is problematic. It's so cute.
It was so adorable.
It was the best. And she said that. She delivered that really, really well. And my favorite scene actually is the same one, but a bit further on when Jane gets his letter and he's reading it aloud and he puts on the hat and he's all excited. And he's like, and whoever goes like, oh, yeah, this is whoever's wearing that hat walking down the street shows that he's not afraid of anything. And, and Jane just doesn't get it. And is just so proud of the damn hat. I think that's amazing. I love that scene.
I think... We should ship you with his hat.
Selena and James. Selena and hat. Hadalina.
Hadalina. We'll see, what about the hat with Vera?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Vera, yes, hat. The hat Vera.
Yeah. But, but no, seriously, though, I think that just Jane, this is his time to shine, and this is the moment when I first watched it when I was like, oh, but he is kind of a bit of a good guy, really.
Yeah.
He sends money home to his mom.
He's so cute. Caitlin, what's your favorite line or scene and or scene? And...
All of the above. My favorite line was, I think it was in the flashback, and Malice says to Tracy, everybody dies, Tracy. Someone's carrying a bullet for you right now, doesn't even know it. The trick is to die of old age before it finds you. Like, it's kind of morbid, but it sounds interesting. And then it comes back in the end when, you know, he says, you killed yourself, you're carrying the bullet and didn't even know it. So, like, I really like that. And it's a very Mal thing to say.
Yeah, it was a good line.
It was beautiful.
Is there some kind of, like, tie-in book called, like, The Philosophy of Firefly, or, like, Live Your Life According to, like, Firefly or something like that? Because I feel like they just say so many, like, golden things.
I'm sure there is a philosophy book. And then my favorite scene was at the carnival, like the whole scene where they're looking at the alien thing and Simon's like, oh, it's a cow fetus. And Kaylee's like, how can you tell? He's like, it's upside down. And then, you know, he sticks his foot in his mouth and Kaylee huffs off, and then Wash and Zoe
it's so
come in.
It's uncomfortable though.
But then Zoe's like, scare her away again, did you? And Simon's like, this may come as a shock, but I'm actually not very good at talking to girls. And Zoe's like, why is there someone you are good at talking to?
That was so funny.
That part cracks
and then Wash is like, oh, it's grotesque. Oh, and there's something in the jar.
And then he's talking to it in the end, and it's like, we are a peaceful
That's so
race.
funny.
I love that lightheartedness. It cracks me up.
Oh my goodness. You totally just stole my favorite scene, because that's my favorite scene too.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. It's fine. It's so good. I think it's allowed to have more than one person have it picked as its favorite.
All the but votes.
All of the votes, yes. My favorite line from the episode was during the flashback when Zoe's like, first rule of batter. Batter.
First rule of batter. You gotta stir it really well.
In cupcake war, the first rule of batter.
Can we title that the episode, please?
Yeah.
The first rule of batter. Oh no.
I don't know why.
Mix
I'm
the
up so
eggs
much.
And the milk. Oh, it's just yeah. flour. Okay.
Okay. Whew, Jesus, this is a stir. Okay.
It's the heat, guys.
Okay. So my favorite line is during the flashback when Zoe is like, first...
Yes.
Go on.
I did it. I'm sorry.
This is amazing.
I don't know why I'm laughing so much today. Oh.
It's the hair.
Okay. When Zoe says, first rule of battle,
yes.
Don't ever let them know where you are. And then Mal comes in, and he's just like, come here! I'm right over here! And then Zoe's like, of course, there are other schools of thought.
Yeah, it was brilliant. I loved it.
I love that, too.
It just goes to show, like, how much, like, Zoe just respects him. Because I'm sure if Tracy did that, she would have been like, are you serious right now? And then Zoe's like, oh, well, I guess you can do things that way. That makes sense.
She's kind of long-suffering. Like, I put up with so much.
Yeah. Oh man, it's oh god, this episode was just great in general. I'm gonna do a who hype thing for you guys. Like, what did you guys
a
think
who
thumbs
hype
up
thing
thumbs down
oh yes. Let's talk about Doctor Who now, just cause
no, but as in general to the rest of the series, thumbs up or thumbs down or thumbs sideways for you guys? I assume it's thumbs up, but maybe
yeah.
not
some that. Oh my god, words today! What is happening? Caitlin, you go.
Thumbs up!
Thumbs up for me too.
Oh man, I don't think there's a single Firefly fan who would say that this is a thumbs down episode, but I just wanted to see if you guys thought maybe it was okay. Because I was on the verge of thinking it was okay, but it wasn't until he actually died that I thought it was a thumbs up.
Yeah. No, I think that makes sense, actually, because that brings it full circle in a really, really neat way.
Yeah, I think it's really what it was the recording just playing at the very end. So now we're going to move on to our feedback portion of the episodes, where we read the comments from our email and from the posts on the podcast episodes on hypeable.com. And so the first comment comes from Josh, and he says, when you guys were talking about how Serenity is Mal's first love, and it's really its true love, I couldn't help but think that it reminded me of Doctor Who and the TARDIS. The Doctor has River, his wife, and he's had Rose and flirtations with other companions, but really the Doctor and the TARDIS are kind of the real ship of Doctor Who. So I feel like even though there's always this Mal and Inara thing that they keep hinting at, the real ship of Firefly is Mal and Serenity. And I totally actually agree with that. Like, the real ship is totally Mal and Serenity. Because no matter what, I feel like relationships come and go, but your ship stays forever, right?
Isn't that kind of what we said on the episode, too? That's pretty much, like, the OTP of Firefly?
Mm. I think so. Yeah, this comment was actually from May 10th. So we're sorry we got back to you so late, Josh, but we totally agree with you. And I feel like it actually still plays into this episode just because of the whole, like, Kaylee-Simon thing, Kaylee-Tracy thing. And, like, I feel like no matter what, Serenity will always be there, and Kaylee will probably always pick Serenity over men because men never seem to let her down.
Yeah.
We've seen Mal too, like all he really needs is to be able to keep flying. He says that in like the end of the pilot that, you know, we're still flying, that's enough.
And then so we have another piece of feedback from Caroline. Caitlin, can you get that?
Sure. Caroline says, one thing that has always bothered me about the Inara Mal fight scene at the beginning is that, we're talking about the previous episode, Trash, is that Mal is pretty regularly calling Inara a whore, and earlier in the show she very expressly says she doesn't like it because it cheapens and misrepresents what she chooses to do. And yet he calls her a whore again in this episode, and again she's upset by it. But then that, as soon as she calls him a petty crook, she's crossed the line. She immediately feels awful and tries to backtrack. Isn't she doing just the same as Mal has done to her many times in the past, cheapening and misrepresenting what he chooses to do? Isn't that kind of a double standard? An eye for an eye is obviously not the most productive way out of an argument, but if he insists on disrespecting her constantly, why should she give him so much respect in return? Which is an interesting point.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, I think Inara likes to try and take the high road mm-hmm. in their discussions and kind of just in general, but there's something about Mal that she just has to snap at him. It says a lot about their dynamic anyway.
It definitely does. I really enjoy their like back and forth.
I think that's probably one of the best parts is the back and forth between those two.
They're not willing to take any crap from each other.
Yeah,
exactly. Like they take each other like so seriously and they're not just gonna be like no. They defend each other against each other's call. I don't know what I'm saying.
It's like basically like the whole thing of no one is allowed to offend you but me, kind of.
Yes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yes. So that's about it for this episode of Rewatchable. And we would love for you guys to let us know what you thought about the episode at our Twitter or email. And you can find us on Twitter at re_watchable. You can email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com, or you can simply just leave a comment on this episode on hypable.com and let us know what you thought. With that, I'm Kyle.
I'm Selena.
And I'm Caitlin.
Bye, guys.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Thank you.